God. Once again, we hear the good news. The good news that the tomb was empty. And we pray, O Lord, that we might not just hear these words that we've heard so many times before, but we pray that we might hear them and hear the joy and feel the joy, the mercy, the grace, the love that comes through them. Give us hearts and minds to understand, lives to share. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
A number of years ago, I came across the following true story. The gentleman who wrote it tells of the first time that he went to an Easter sunrise service at a large church in Iowa. He said they had a very dramatic way of beginning the Easter sunrise service. The service began early enough in the morning that it was dark when the people came to church. And the only light in the church as the worshipers entered the sanctuary was that eternal light, the light in the red burner high above the altar of the church. And they not only entered in darkness, but they entered in silence. There was no prelude. And the service began when the senior pastor stood in front of this 20-foot-high cross and shouted, "Go down, death! Christ is risen!" And then he would pull a string, and this black cross, which had been draped with black, the drape would fall off the cross. And when the drape fell off the cross, then that was the signal, and the organist began playing, the trumpets began to sound, the acolytes started down to light the candles, and the lights in the sanctuary were turned on. And the congregation would begin to sing, Christ is risen today. Really dramatic, wouldn't you say? But then the writer goes on to say, "My first sunrise service had something unexpected happen. Everything went as planned until the pastor approached the cross and shouted, 'Go down, death! Christ has risen!' And he pulled the string, and the person who wrote it said, 'I heard it break.' And the drape stayed in place." Now, this is a 20-foot-high cross. You can't just reach up and undo it. The pastor left the sanctuary. The feeling was, death had not gone down. What are we going to do now? Had death shown itself to be more powerful than the Easter sunrise service? In a little while, the pastor came back with the sexton. He had a long pull, and without a word, he used the pole and unhooked the drape, brought it down. The organ started, the trumpet sounded, the acolytes started coming down the aisle, and everything was great. Christ the Lord has risen today. Hallelujah. That's the power of a sexton in a church. Easter, the day of the resurrection. The reason we are here, not just today, but any Sunday. For if there is no resurrection, there would be no Easter. There might have been a cross, but we wouldn't have known about it. The third day is the day that makes the difference. Easter, however, is a day of emptiness. Think about that. What I mean is, we're left with an empty tomb. We're left with scared soldiers. We're left with one or two angels and different visitors logging into the tomb depending on which gospel accounts you read. A morning of confusion and emptiness. Did death really go down, or is there some other explanation? Well, I think we can get an idea if we look at Mary Magdalene. And she teaches us how to handle the empty tomb. They left in fear and joy. Fear because, hey, this is unexpected. You've got to admit it. And joy because if it's true, then he's alive again. And they were on their way to the disciples when they meet Jesus. And they go to Galilee to find him. Last Friday night at our Good Friday service, I talked about how our need for security in our lives causes us to crucify Jesus over and over. I began today's reading with the Jewish leaders fearful of the disciples stealing the body and wanting the tomb to be secure. Guards were placed there to make sure that the tomb was not stolen. They wanted to keep Jesus in the tomb. Think about that. They wanted to keep Jesus in the tomb. That's our idea of security. Keep things in their place. Keep the surprises out of the equation. We want to have all the angles of life figured out. In our Bible study last Thursday, we were talking about, and we were studying the Gospel of Luke, and we're at the announcement of the birth of John and Jesus to Elizabeth and Mary before they became pregnant. And I asked the class the question. I said, how important is it to you that Mary is a virgin? And we had a good discussion over that. We went for a few minutes on that one. And we had people come down on both sides. Some said, yes, it's very important. Some said, that's not that important to me. And I shared with them at that time how when I was going through the ordination process back in 1981, I had to write a statement of faith, which was shared with the committee of the presbytery that examines people for ordination. And I was told beforehand, don't get too creative on this thing. Kind of follow a boilerplate statement of faith, which includes things like, I believe in the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you might not get approved for ordination. You see, even in the church, there is a need for security that governing bodies in the church like their pastors to adhere to certain standards. It keeps the surprises out. So you see, we want security in our lives, in the church, everywhere, as a country. But you know what? Earthquakes have a way of happening. And we're left with empty tombs. How do we deal with that? We go looking for Jesus, just like Mary. The angels and Jesus said, go to Galilee. And there you will see him. When we are left with emptiness, we must go looking. One writer put it this way, it's Easter. Aren't we finished with the tomb of Jesus by the time we get to Easter Sunday? Can't we leave behind the gory events of Jesus' last days and focus on the resurrection now? This Easter, I'm suggesting that we follow the example of Mary Magdalene, who stayed at the empty tomb that day because she took time to look at the tomb. Mary Magdalene experienced the power of God in ways the other disciples missed. Let's take some time today to linger at the empty tomb so that we too can discover what Mary Magdalene discovered. New life, new hope. And isn't that true? I think in some ways we prefer to stay at the cross. We wear little crosses. We have them hanging in our church and in our homes and on our front. It's what we expect when you nail somebody to a tree or a cross. But the day of resurrection, that's something totally different. Why isn't there some kind of a symbol for the third day that we venerate more than the cross? Because you see, if it wasn't for the third day, if it wasn't for the empty tomb, we probably wouldn't even know about the cross, even if Jesus had been crucified on it, because it wouldn't have made a difference. He would have been dead, still laying in the tomb. Frederick Buechner, a Christian writer in his book Beyond Words, offers the following. He rose. A few saw him briefly and talked to him. If it is true, there's nothing left to say. If it's not true, there's nothing left to say. For believers and unbelievers both, life has never been the same again. For some reason, for some, neither has death. What is left now is the emptiness. And there are those who, like Magdalene, will never stop searching until they see his face. Will never stop searching until they see his face. When our need for security, for secure thoughts and answers becomes too great, when the tomb feels too empty, then we need to pause around the tomb and look into it. And then we need to take the trip to Galilee. Think about it. What did Jesus do in Galilee? That's where he taught. That's where he did the miracles. That is where people's lives were transformed by his ministry. We find Jesus wherever people are being healed, wherever people are being transformed, wherever people are given justice. That's where we find Jesus. We find Jesus in the hearts and minds of people who live according to his life and teachings, who follow him, and who touch the hearts and lives of others. 2 summers ago, Barbara and I spent 8 days on the Rhine River in Germany and France. And one of the stops was at Strasbourg, France. A beautiful city with a beautiful cathedral. And one of the things that Strasbourg Cathedral is known for is its famous astronomical clock. It's a huge thing. And it not only tells you the time, it tells you the day, it tells you the year, it tells you all kinds of information. Now this clock was built in 1843. And this is the third clock in a line of clocks in this cathedral. And there's a story concerning the clock and its maker. It had a mechanism so complicated that it seemed to the ignorant and superstitious almost a work of superhuman skill, a work of a devil. The abused and the offended maker, while as yet unpaid for his work, came one day and went inside his clock and touched its secret springs. And it stopped. And all the patience and ingenuity of a nation's mechanics and artisans failed to restore its disordered mechanism and set it in motion again. Afterward, when his grievances were redressed, the maker came again and touched the inner springs and set it again in motion. And all of its multiplied parts revolved again, obedient to his will, when thus by a touch he suspended and restored those marvelous movements, and he gave to any doubting mind proof that he was the maker and certainly the master of that clock. The maker was revealed as the true maker. He was not some devil worshiper. He knew the workings of the clock. When we go back to Galilee, we see the maker alive in the teachings of Jesus and the actions of Jesus. And thus we know that on the third day, he was the resurrected Christ. Because that we can trust. Jesus and God will help us through our times of emptiness. Because there was a third day for Jesus. The promise from Christ is that there is a third day for all of us. In this life and in the next. Bruce Larson, in his book, Laughter in Heaven, writes, "Resurrection is a vital authentication, but of itself or as a spectacle of sheer power. It will not win a person to what God wants. The resurrection is awesome and powerfully persuasive to us because it is the resurrection of the man whom we have come to love and respect. The man who gave himself at Calvary on our behalf. Without Jesus, the resurrection would only be about power, would only prove power. But God is not concerned to prove only power. God has more important things to prove than power. It's the devil who seeks to impress and to tempt men and women with power. But God's plan is to assure men and women of God's faithful love. And isn't that what we all want to find in the empty tomb? That we are loved. My brothers and sisters in Christ, know today, the third day, you have been, you are, and you will be loved by God. That is what the third day is all about. That God will not leave us at the foot of the cross, filled with emptiness, with guilt and sadness. Death has gone down. Christ is risen. Thanks be to God for God's great act of mercy for all people. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.